Chapter 3, verse 1. We talked about this in passing in Sunday school sometime in the last 4 or 5 months, and I thought it might be appropriate to bring it before all of our attention. Now, friend, the only important verse in some ways is the first line. This is simply a story. It is simply the author of Scripture, the Holy Spirit, telling you about the events during this era. The first line is very provocative. It says, "Now, these are the nations which the Lord did what?" Now, understand, if God is sovereign, and he is, providentially, God could have removed those nations. So, to get at the heart of this, we're going to ask a question, is this question: God, why did you leave these nations? Or in your case, not nations, in our case, problems. Why does every job I go to have the same boss? Or as I heard a guy one time say, I married the same woman 3 times. But he wasn't referring to the woman. Or as one of my uncles was joking with another one of my uncles about another one of my uncles, there's 8 of them, I think 6 are alive or 5 now. One of them, my Uncle Rollin, said about his older brother, I will leave his name out, to the youngest uncle, Kenny, he said it publicly many times, if he ever gets married again, I'm choosing his wife. Some of you don't get the point, do you? 3 marriages, all 3 bad, and Rollin says, he doesn't know how to choose a wife. He keeps choosing. I'm going to ask a question this morning. Why does God leave these problems in your life? The text directly says that. Now we'll read the whole text. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan. Only that the generation of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof. Then he lists them, namely, 5 lords of the Philistines, and all the Canaanites, and the Sidonians, and the Hivites that dwelt in Mount Lebanon, from Mount Baal Hermon until the entering in of Hamath. And they were to prove Israel by them to know whether they would hearken or listen, or let's say it this way, God is trying to determine whether his people would obey the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, and Amorites, and Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites, and Zionites, and Termites, and there's probably 6 other ites. And then you just go right, look at me, friend, you just go right into the pig slop. Look at me. God left the people there within minutes. By the way, God opened a door. God opened a window. They went right through it, not understanding why God left those people there. It says, they took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons and served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot the Lord their God, and served Balaam and the groves, Baalim, plural for Baals, and Ashtaroth, the groves, the female side of this. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said unto he sold them. So he not only left some people there, he ended up selling his people to some, we don't know this person, and I'm not going to say his name, Chewy, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served this Chewy fella 8 years. And the children of Israel did what? They cried unto the Lord. The Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. and went out to war. And the Lord then delivered Chewy, the king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. And his hand prevailed against it, Chewy. And the land had rest 40 years. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. Why these problems? Lord, why do you leave these things in my life? And if you're anything over 10 years old, you have problems in your life right now that you have already asked God, why in the world don't these things go away? Why do I keep having the same children, friends, every place I go I have the same problem? Why did they just keep coming? Why? That's the question I'm going to ask. Why these problems? Father, thank you. Help me to be able to share very simple ideas this morning. I desire to be a help and a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Why these problems? Why these temptations? Let me say it in positively. Why these opportunities to do wrong? Why does God leave these things in my life? Cliff and Judy aren't here this morning. They're the only couple in our church that's ever been there. Their first round here, they went with us. I'm not sure who all was with us. My wife and I think. Cliff and Judy, aloha. They got to see the grade school I went to. And when I went to grade school, we did not have a kindergarten. You basically started school in first grade in the rural area. The last week of school the year before, so when I was five or so, the very last week of that school year, they had us visit school. And the teacher, of which name I cannot remember now, the teacher tried to ascertain if we were ready for school. By the way, I find this hilarious, Tim. All the stuff we do with kids to find readiness. In those days, if you were that age, you went to school. That's what we did. And may I say this? I was not ready for school. I grew up way out in the country. The only people I knew, I didn't like. My brother and my sisters. I went to school. How do you remember this? My goodness, this is almost 60 years ago. I remember going to school. I was so excited. I must have woke up at 3 a.m. We had to walk a long way out of the holler up to the road, probably a mile up to the road, got up to the bus. I was so excited to go to school. When I got to school, I still remember I went in first grade. She put me back in the back by several other guys. That was a mistake. Put me around, and I just had fun. Here's the lady. Good teacher. Sweet lady, I'm sure. She passed out papers for us. She said, do your work. We'll collect them at the end of each hour. How do I remember something that happened nearly 60 years ago? I can remember the words I said to the guy sitting over here. I can't remember what happened yesterday except I was sick, but I can remember. And I remember getting a piece of paper. Folks, I didn't know how to write. Didn't know how to hold a pencil. My mother didn't know how to teach people how to do this. I needed K4, K5 twice each. I remember her passing these out, and I remember we had a flip-top desk. I remember getting the piece of paper, talking to the guy, couple guys next to me, laughing my head off, playing around, causing trouble. And I remember I lifted up the desk, threw it in there, and this is exact words. I said, this is a good place for this. Closed the desk, went back to playing. Would you believe next year that teacher remembered and she talked to me about not being a good student in first grade from what happened the year before? I will say this. I was a terrible student from first grade to ninth grade. You say, why? Caused trouble. But that teacher made me do those tests. I hated that idea. Let's look in this. Look at your Bibles again, please. Verse 1. I told that story, it's funny to me. It wasn't funny to the teacher, friends. I have to admit, that teacher taught 2 years, and the year that she taught me was her last year in teaching. Does that indicate any kind of, I was not a good student. But that wanted me to learn. Look at verse 1. It gives us the first reason God leaves various things in our life. Verse 1. Now these are the nations. In our case, it's not going to be nations. It's going to be problems, temptations, troubles, trials, difficulties. These are the nations which the Lord left. Then he kind of indicates, he says, to prove Israel by them, even as many as of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan. And then he gives us fundamentally his first reason or purpose in leaving these nations behind. He says, only that the generation of the children of Israel might know to teach them war. At the least, such as before knew nothing thereof. Then it lists, here are those nations, 5 lords of the Philistines, all the Canaanites, Sidonians, Hivites, and there was actually others that surrounded them also. But the point being is this, friend, number one, why does God leave these problems is, number one, God left these nations to teach us that we must look at the problems, the difficulties, the struggles, it's just the way God works. Now, friend, oh, wait a minute. Let's back up. I already have people checking out. Now, you'll be complaining this week about all your problems because, listen, if God is God, he could remove every problem you have now. But he chooses not to. And the first big reason is he's going to use those problems, those struggles, those difficulties to teach us in some way. For the Jewish people, they had left Egypt, wandered around for a long time, then entered into Canaan under Joshua. Joshua was dead. That generation was dead. All of a sudden, we had a bunch of Jewish believers that did not know how to fight. And God left those nations there basically to teach them, this is how you defend yourself. He left them to teach us. Now, friends, there are many things he wants to teach us. There are many things he wants to teach us. And unless you're different than me, and I'm going to confess, unless you're different than me, most of us are highly resistant to learning. How many times would I have to teach the same thing for you to listen? Let me ask, by the way, I'm not mad at you. How many times has God confronted you with the same thing and you haven't listened? We're very resistant. Now, there's the kinds of people that are resistant like me. I'm right in your face. Then there's the sweet person that smiles and God bless you, but they're still just as resistant as the obnoxious person. They're just resistant with a smile. God has many things he wants to teach us. He leaves these nations to teach us. In their case, it was to teach them war. For us, he wants to teach us many things. And friends, we are highly resistant to change. Most of us must learn the same lesson over and over. I don't think this is an exact quote, but I saw this joke recently again. The joke said this: women use 30,000 words per day. Men use 10,000 words per day. Why the difference? Well, according to the joke, it was this. The wife needs to repeat herself at least 3 times, so it takes her 30,000 words for the husband to hear the first 10,000. Well, let me ask you another question. How many times has God spoken to you? How many times has God tried to teach you? How many times has God brought things into your life and look at me. We're still struggling with the same sin we were struggling with 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 15 years ago, 40 years. Why are you still fighting this? Why are you still having angst over this? Friends, God left these nations to in their case, war. In our case, many things. But we resist. Some still remember, right downstairs, talking to a woman. My goodness, 20, 25 years ago. Woman got mad at me. Never seen it before. Woman got mad at me, did this. Crossed her arms, poochie lip. Stomping her foot with the poochie lip. I thought only children did that. Resist it. I don't want what you have to say. Now my question is that woman still? The answer is worse. She's grown more resistant to change. Friend, God, like he does me, and frankly, oh, I don't always like to listen. I like to get stubborn. I like to be bullheaded. But of course, you don't. You're very gentle. That's the reason, look at me, you have the same boss at the 14th job. Hello. That's the reason you have the same problems. Yesterday, I had two big experiences. In the morning, I don't know what my wife did. She was talking to Pachungay. I blame it on Pachungay. I think she poisoned me. I think she practiced some of Pachungay's kulam. That's just a guess. I got sick. Jenny got home, and I was still not feeling real good. Took a nap, got up. I thought I was okay. And then Amy brought the handsome Jesse and Evan over to our house. I call Evan Evie. I do love those boys. I love them too much. Jesse, I have to say, I want everybody to hear exactly what I say. Jesse is perfect, just like his grandfather. Now, that is a true statement, but you didn't hear it right. He is perfect, just like his grandfather. Evie, he has more of my daughter in him yet. So yesterday, Jenny needed to do a couple things. I went downstairs. I was playing with the boys. And Jesse was throwing me a ball, and he just got tickled. I wish I'd had it on video. He just got tickled throwing me this ball, and he threw it really hard, and I caught it one time, and then I threw it back. He caught it. Oh, he was just tickled. Evan wasn't having any of it. Evan only had one thing on his mind. Mrs. Warren, do you know what that is? He wanted to go up the stairs. We only have one rule. Don't go up. Here, Jesse and I are tossing the ball back and forth. Here's Evie. He's only a little over one. He's smiling. He's cute. He's got that little piece of hair that sticks straight up in the back. By the way, if it does that when you're a child, it falls out when you get older. But anyhow, Evie's being cute. Jesse and I are playing. And here comes Evie. He comes and he wants to go. And there's two couches come close together. We have a little table here. He comes. It's like, Evie, I turn him around. I point him away. He walks. Folks, 15, 20, 25 times. Finally, I get up. You have to follow me a little bit. I get up and I go right between the two couches and the little table, right to the entryway. I'm big. What does Evie do? Does he learn? He walks up to me. He tries to get between my big leg and the table. I keep putting my leg over farther. When I get my leg over far enough, between my legs. He's like, what are you doing? Who taught you to do this? He's going up those stairs. No. Can I ask you a question? Do you have any idea why God keeps bringing, look here, the same problem into your life over and over and over? I'm going to say it in ways you understand. The same bad boss, because all bosses are bad. The same, folks, I used to work in a laboratory. I used to be the boss. I've told employees this 1,000 times, probably literally. They come in, I hate this job. I hate this lab. And I used to say, I said it so many times back in the dark ages. I would say this is very philosophical. A lab is a lab is a lab. If you go to a medical laboratory, guess what you have to do? You have to do medical laboratory stuff. And guess what? People, did they listen to me? Oh, no. They listened to me just like Evie did. Folks, I'm not kidding. When I moved my right leg over so far and he went between my legs, he didn't even slow down. He just zoomed, turned a left, and he was to the third step up before I could get around. I picked him up. I carried him out. I carried him into the middle of the room. I set him down. I pointed him that way, and he walked about two steps and right back at it. You say, look. Bringing these problems. Why do we have the Philistines? Why do we have the Canaanites? What do we got all these troubles for? He left them to teach us. And God will leave things in our life to teach us, to hopefully someday, somehow, we learn it. Well, we're going to come back to Judges 3 in just a moment, but if you would be as kind, I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 9, please. Luke chapter 9. We're going to look at three or four verses. Luke chapter 9 and verse 43. I don't know everybody in this room personally, details. I look around the room. I'm assuming many of us are Christians. But I want to say clearly, I don't ever assume anything at this stage of my life. You say, why not? I've been fooled too many times. So I want to say this to you, friend. Please hear me. The first thing God is going to do, he's going to use circumstances to confront you with the gospel. You say, just because you get confronted with the gospel, I have seen people over and over and over just... I still remember once in St. Louis, at the end of the service, preaching the gospel, how to be saved, the love of God, the cross of Christ. And somehow, at the end of the service, I prayed, or we were praying, or somebody was praying, I don't remember, but somehow I looked up, and I'd never done it before, and I looked up, and there was a guy out there doing this. No different than I've seen people in this service looking at their cell phone. By the way, if you're not saved this morning, God's going to come knocking at your door over and over and over, even if you don't get it. Luke chapter 9. Let's look there, please. In verse 43. Luke 9 and verse 43. We're going to look at about three or four verses in the New Testament. Luke 9 and verse 43 says this. About all the people, they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, every one, at all these things, at all things which Jesus did, he said, not unto the crowd, but to his disciples. And I love this English. It says the same in Greek. Let these sayings, these words, these ideas sink down into your ears. For the Son of Man, talking about himself, shall be delivered into the hands of men. Meaning, he's going to die. He's going to give his life on the cross. Other passages give more details. He's going to rise again. He says, let these sayings sink down into your ears. Verse 43. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Verse 46 is the verse that bothers me. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be what? You look at me, friend. Hey, look at me right now. Not anybody particularly. There are people in this room this morning have your mind on everything except the God that's confronting you. There is a God in heaven that is seeking to save you. He sent his Son to seek and to save that which is lost. And my friend, he tells us that let these sayings sink down in you. And what are they thinking about? Who's the most important? What's on my TikTok, my Twitter? Or worse, what is it called? Don't answer. Fans only or only fans. We now have private porn. You say, people come to church. Oh, yes. And it becomes obvious. Hear me. The God you, and he will keep these props. You're going to have the same boss until the day you die if you don't learn what he's trying to teach you. You say, well, I'm changing bosses. Good luck on that one. Let's look again. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm just going to touch on three or four very small lessons. By the way, you have to learn them. You can't get away from them. 2 Corinthians, please, in chapter 10 in verse 3. This is the warfare that you and I fight. Second Corinthians 10 and verse 3, Paul says this, "For though we walk in the flesh," meaning we are just human, we're not superhuman, he says we do not war after the flesh, or otherwise we don't get rifles and pistols to fight in the battle that we're in. Verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." They're not the normal sword, spears, rifles, pistols, etc. "But they're mighty through God. And they do what? To the pulling down of strongholds." Just like the Roman army would attack a fortress on a hill and it would pull the walls down. But Paul's not talking about us getting a ballista, shooting a huge arrow to puncture a hole in a wall. He's talking about ideas that control our minds and consume us. He's saying the weapons of our warfare are mighty to the pulling down of not physical strongholds, but strongholds in the mind and in the heart. Well, it continues. Verse 5, "Casting down." This is what we do. This is our warfare. "Casting down imaginations," ways of thinking, "and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God." And hear this. "And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Can you imagine? Look at me. You say, "I just get tired of hearing about controlling my thoughts." This is when God will quit speaking to you about that. When you can finally get your thoughts under control. If you cannot, he's going to keep bringing you back. He's going to leave that nation there to say, "You need, by God's grace," Psalm 46, verse 10, "be still and know that I am God." Or, "taking captive every thought," learning to control our mind and heart, learning to be God-centered, learning to pull down those strongholds that oppose God in his thinking and his plans. Let's look at one other text for time. I got a couple, but we'll look at one. Colossians 3, verse 5. Colossians 3, verse 5. Everyone look at me, please. I want to say this gently now. The man you're looking at has problems too. I have weaknesses too. Now some of you, of course, already know that. You think you know all of my sins. And some of you, I don't know what you think, but I do know this. I'm not trying to be humble. This is not a humble brag. I have problems too. Certain things bother me. Certain things frustrate me. May I say this? Which is exactly the reason God leaves them in my life. Because God left these nations to teach these people. And until you learn what they're there to teach you, guess what happens? Guess what? You never get away from them. You say, "I'm leaving. I'm going to Bozeman, Montana." I mentioned that in Sunday school. Only to find that everybody in Bozeman, Montana wants to get out of Bozeman, Montana. That was according to a secular article I read this morning. Good luck. God bless your running. Guess what you're going to find? You didn't know there were Canaanites in Bozeman, Montana. You didn't know there were these Philistines. I have the same. What? Yes, because the God of heaven, if you're saved, after you come to know him, and these sayings sink down in your heart, and you trust Christ, and you follow him, he leaves things around so he can teach us. Well, the next one's a tough one. By the way, control of the mind, warfare, Colossians 3, verse 5. King James says, "Mortify." We get mortician, what do you call it? Mortician, that's what we get from it. What a mortician deals with dead bodies. Mortify, look at me in the eyes, means to. Necrosate, necrotic tissue in Greek, death. He says, put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness. The King James uses two weird words, inordinate affections, which means this, passions that are out of control. And then it uses an old Middle English word, concupiscence, evil concupiscence, which again is a word for passions or lust that are evil. He says, put to death. And by the way, friend, until you and I learn to put to death, whether it be fornication, some form of uncleanness, the person that constantly is controlled by their emotions every second of every day, that's the inordinate. They're affections that are not ordered, properly ordered. They're just emotions, and the emotions control me. Do I feel like? Who cares what you feel? And by the way, God will keep bringing that. Canaanites keep visiting your house until you learn, because he leaves them to teach us. Well, evil concupiscence, I'm going to say this. Males. Every male in this room has a problem with the mind. Not every male has the same problem. Some males have grown up and learned to put to death and control lustful thoughts. If you'll meet them every place you go. You say, I'm going to a monastery, but you still have your brain. You still have your thoughts. My friend, hear me. God leaves things to teach us, to teach how to put things to death. You have to actually, by God's grace, win the victory. That might be a process, might take some time. You might not ever win it all together. I said this before. It's not in my sermon notes, but I'm saying it anyhow. There's only three kinds of males not interested in women. Liars, dead men, and homosexual males. So if you tell me you're not interested, which one are you? Answer the question, which one are you? Now, do I believe a man can get to the place where he's not dominated by this? Yes, I do. And I even know how. It's learning to control your mind. It's learning to focus on Scripture. It's learning to fill your mind and heart with good thoughts and proper thoughts and positive thoughts. And gradually, over time, you'll learn to control your mind. You'll learn to control your heart. Or you'll be a dirty old man, 80 years old, dirty and filthy, and everybody will know it, because at that point you'll no longer be able to control your dirty old man thoughts. You say, you shouldn't have said that. Who's going to say it to you? Most of what we learn in life, sorry, is not learned in church. Most of what we learn in life is learned OJT, on-the-job training. Yes, I'm going to point direction. Yes, I'm going to tell you God has left things in your life that you must learn, and if you don't learn, they just stick around. When the Jewish people got to the place where they could learn about war, then he wouldn't have to have these problems. One issue was removed. Most of what we learn is learned on the job. We learn war. We learn to resist temptation. By the way, friend, if you can't resist temptation, if every moment of every day you get up and say, how do I feel about this? Oh, God, help you. You have no hope. You've got to get up in the morning and start with God and move forward and learn to resist temptation to succeed in marriage. All of it takes that. Judges chapter 3. Let's look there again, please. Judges chapter 3. We'll start again in verse 1. I asked your suffering in the second point. I am going to be much more autobiographical than I care to be, because I'm going to specifically talk about my life. and some of the things that I have learned. Hard way. Judges 3, verse 1. It says, "Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them." Verse 4, please. "And they were to prove Israel by them for what purpose? To know whether they would hearken or obey or listen to the commandments of the Lord, which commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses." So friend, the first reason God leaves problems, the nations, he didn't have to. He could remove all of them. He could just say, here's a boat, sail to heaven. But he leaves these things to teach us holiness, godliness, Christlikeness. And secondly, he leaves them to test us, which is one step beyond teaching. You teach something, then you test something. I have a problem. Every student of mine knows this problem. I don't like to do tests. You say, "Why don't you like to do tests?" Just wears me out. Grading. I hate it. There's almost nothing on earth I hate more. The only reason I do it is because I have little birds chirping in my ear. Have you done those Bible grades yet? I have a big bird that keeps asking me. Oh, she's irritating. I will not mention Amy's name. Friend, God has saved us. God has brought us to the promised land, so to speak. God has also commanded us many commands. How to honor him, how to obey him. And friend, this before they were to prove Israel by them to know whether they would hearken or listen to the commandments of the Lord. Are you going to obey me? So God not only leaves them to teach us, he leaves them beyond the teaching to test us. Christ. So let me introduce this. God has saved us, brought us into the promised land, given us commands, and now he is. Any good teacher knows something. Look at me. Do you think I know who's doing right in this room? In the sense, not absolutely, but let me ask it this way. Do you think God knows who's doing right? God doesn't test us for him. He tests us for we know through the different struggles we go through. He not only teaches us how to fight, how to resist, etc., but he brings it beyond. He tests us so we can know, will we obey God? Now I'm going to give my testimony. We got a young sailor that used to be a Marine. Is that right? I like Marines. I like inflicting pain on Marines, just so you know. Back in the, you know, dark ages, that's a joke. We have some Marines in this room. We have an ancient Marine behind you. I mean, he's like 120. He was in, I don't know, when the Marines started, he was there. I'm going to give you my testimony. For you that don't care, that's fine. When I was in the United States Navy, 1975, I knew something I didn't need to hide behind. It was me, God, and death. Mama wasn't there. Pastor wasn't there. It was God, me, and a Bible, and everything the Navy threw. I learned an extremely important lesson about testing. I learned that the most important thing I did when I went from Beaufort, South Carolina to Bethesda Naval Hospital and then George Washington School, the most important thing I could do was this. I was a young guy, young sailor. I had to do this, friend, establish my testimony as a Christian. Now hear me. If you don't do that, you get your lunch eaten. There aren't any young men that survive being a hideaway Christian. You either come from a little bit of the embarrassment that I'm a Christian, and you say, what did that mean? Back in the 70s, it was real simple. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't listen to dirty jokes. And I don't treat women like all the sailors treated women. And by the way, from over here to back here to here, and you already know if you have established your testimony. Once I established a testimony that I'm a Christian, there's certain things I don't do, and there's certain things I do. I go to church, you know, those sorts of things. I read the Bible. I spend time with God at work. I don't cuss. I don't lie. I don't cheat. But I had to establish my testimony, hear me, early. Once you got your testimony established, things became much better. Let me say it this way. I had to establish that I'm a Christian, meaning this, I'm a Bible-believing Christian. That's different. Lots of folks are religious. I am a gospel-believing Christian. I believe in a personal relationship with God. I also had to establish I'm not a Philistine. I'm not a Canaanite. I don't fit in with that behavior. No drinking, no drugs, no sex, no dirty jokes. Friend, it has only been since I have been here. Even if a Christian comes to me with a joke, it used to be I would physically do this because I got so tired of people telling me dirty jokes. So I would just, is it clean? Is it clean? One of the people that I liked, I still like him. I think we're friends on Facebook. I'm not going to say who it is. Jenny would know, doctor that I work with. He was the worst. He would challenge, look at me. Have you established yourself as a Christian? Do people, by the way, if you don't do that, what happens? Every time you're in a new situation, you're all embarrassed, trying to hide in the corner. I am a Christian. God is testing me. And the test is, it's better, may I say it this way, it's better just to take the test, stand for Christ, and then, most of the time, they don't bother you too much. A little bit. I learned something else, and I'm going to say this carefully. I learned that once you establish your testimony, after 2 or 3 or 4 years, they're going to come back every once in a while and try to find out if you're serious. Because most Christians are compromisers. So yeah, I didn't drink 2 years ago, but now I'll drink a little bit. Dr. Duren, I now said his name, forgive me. I like the man. We're friends. Dr. Duren was the worst because he liked me. And he loved telling dirty jokes. I probably did this. Come on, doctor. Come on, doc. No dirty jokes. But do you realize he would quit for a year or two or three, and then he would come back? Are you serious? Are you really? By the way, friend, I learned not when I'm 40, not when I'm a pastor. I learned in the Navy. You're going to have... Are you a Philistine? Are you a Christian? Which is it? God tests us. But the test isn't for him. He already knows what you're going to do. He already knows who you are. You've got to realize the test. God leaves these enemies here and these temptations and these problems to say, will you really obey me in the crucial moments? Second piece of my testimony. I hope it's helpful to you. If you would be as kind, look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. I'm going to go to meddling today. Everybody find Hebrews chapter 10. You probably know the verse, I would assume. The second piece of a personal testimony. And I'm giving these testimonies because I was a young sailor. May I say this? Is it hard for me to do right today? Here are my friends. I have my wife, my daughter, her husband, my son, his wife. I mean, I have a small family. I have my friends like Pastor. Pastor Kwok never asked to go drinking with me. If he goes drinking, he goes with Jennifer. He doesn't go with me. And by the way, folks, but this is not talking about as a pastor. I'm talking about when I was an E3. Guys, when I'm a nobody, what do you do then? Well, there's some promises I made God. When I went from Beaufort to Bethesda, I watched sailors. And I started seeing sailors, and I've seen it in this church, who two duty stations ago were pretty good guys. They had a group of friends. They had a church. They were in church. They did pretty well. And then they went to a new duty station, and guess what happened? Here it is, friend. I promised God that when I went from duty station to duty station, I would not miss one single week of church. Ever. I didn't do that as a religious person. I did that as an 18 to 19-year-old. Because I started noticing this thing that people play. By the way, there's folks in this room. You want to go someplace on a three-day weekend, you travel on Sunday. I'm going to say, if this makes you angry, guilty, I don't care. I don't play that game. Why? Saturday is the day I travel. Sunday, it's the Lord's day. And I'm with the Lord's people. Acts 2:40. You don't have to read it. I'll read it. Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. I realized as a young man, I needed not only to stand for Christ, I needed to be around those people who were doing right. I needed that group of friends. I needed that group of people that would fellowship. Hebrews 3:13 says this, but exhort one another. By the way, church is not about a building. Church is about the one another. I need this group of friends alongside me that we can talk about the things of God and they will encourage me, challenge me, convict me. It says, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Manner is the word we get habit from. Friends, in this group of believers, there were people that were already making it a habit to avoid church. Now, I don't care what I preach on. You're going to notice I'm not preaching on giving this morning. I'm going to leave a bunch of stuff out. I am just going to hammer this. There is no such thing as Christians who don't honor the Lord's Day. Those are oxymorons. The Lord's Day is the day we come together. Friend, I didn't figure that out when I became a pastor. You say, how important was it? I don't know the date. I probably could figure it out somehow. It was either the second week or the third week in, excuse me, of 1977 in December. I left Bethesda and came to Great Lakes. I was happy to come to Great Lakes. I'm one of the dumbest people you've ever met. I went to Orlando, Florida for boot camp in June, July, and August. I come to Great Lakes in December. That's brilliant. Hear me. You say, you're going to make me mad. I hope so. I am, at that time, when I came here in 77, I was almost 22. Friends, I'd promised God I would not miss one single service. Got here to Great Lakes, found out where I needed to go, checked in the barracks where they were going to put me up in a room. I don't know what I did something. After I got all my junk probably put away, which in those days my whole junk was in a sea bag. And that would be a nice thing. Went downstairs. Sorry, I didn't look at my phone. Went downstairs and found a Yellow Pages. And I found Lake County Baptist Temple. Big Yellow Page ad. I then called Lake County Baptist Temple on the payphone. And I got a hold of somebody during a Saturday here. I know who it was. His name was Don Askew. And I asked him about the church. And the funny part was, I also asked him, by the way, I was 21. I also asked him this question: is the church premillennial? Are we premillennial? Some of you aren't sure. Yes. Don Askew, I still remember his answer. He says, "You know, I think so, but you better ask the pastor." So I went to Chow, Navy Chow. Navy Chow is not as bad as Marine Corps Chow, but not a lot better. Had some food, came back, went to sleep. Got up the next morning, 12 inches of snow. My first Sunday here, it was probably the third week of December, but it might have been the second. I drove from Great Lakes up Sheridan Road from the Naval Hospital in those days, up Sheridan to York House right here, pulled in here. There was a foot of snow in the parking lot. Some of it had been pushed around. It was a disaster. This building had been built, but it wasn't open. I did not know where to go. I walked all over the place, and I finally found an old couple, Lichtenbergers. Boy, that's a blast from the Dark Ages. Lovely family. And they showed me how to get down where the bottom of the old building is, where this used to be. I went to church Sunday morning. I went to church Sunday night. And I joined this church on Sunday night, December 1977. I want to say this to you. I made a promise to God the Lord's Day. Are you hearing me? Is what? The Lord's Day. Because I want to be religious? No, I want to be with God's people. Now, you say, I've never learned that. I just told you about me as a kid. I didn't talk about as a pastor. By the way, the Lord's got lots of problems in my life because I got lots more to learn. But I do know this. God leaves problems. And you hear people complaining. Why doesn't this ever? It's because you haven't either learned what he wants you to learn or you haven't passed the test. Because the Lord leaves these nations to teach us and to test us. So I want to ask you a question before we go back to Judges. May I? When are you going to learn? How many times has God got to teach you the same thing? Hey, when are you going to get your mind under control, males? When you're 100 and in the grave? When are we going to learn simple things? Sundays are not days of travel. Sundays are the Lord's Day. You say, you're being offensive. I'm just telling you what I have practiced since I was a kid. You say, why? I needed it. I've made a promise to God. Let's look back at Judges chapter 3 and verse 5. There's one last thought I want to leave with you this morning. In 1994, I visited Lake County to visit specifically Don Askew. Don wasn't coming here at the time. We went to see my mother-in-law, which at that time lived down by O'Hare. And on Thursday and Friday or so, we were going to come up here and visit Don Askew and June Askew. I still remember the date well because of, sadly, the circumstances. Don was supposed to call us on Thursday, and I didn't get a call. And on Friday, I didn't get a call. So I called Jim DeWar, which was here at the time. And he said, Don has had some kind of a problem. He's in the hospital. So Jenny and I, this was Thanksgiving week, 1994, came up here. I don't know where we stayed. Maybe we stayed with your mom, but we ate with the DeWars, I think. We went over and visited Don Askew. Friends, please look at me. Don died. He died the next day. Here's my whole point. When do we learn something? Do we go all the way to end of life and we still dealing with the same problem? I asked Jim DeWar a question. I don't remember the people's names. I said, how is Billy and Susie? And Jim said this. By the way, I had not been a part of this church. This was 1994. I hadn't been, or three, whichever it was. I think it was three. I hadn't been part of this church since 81. I said, how is Bill and Susie? And here's his exact words at that weekend. Just like they've always been. Nothing has changed. God will leave these problems to teach you. Let's learn. If we don't learn, then he tests us, but not for him, for us. There's a third thing, and I don't like the third part. Verse 5. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, and Amorites, Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to their sons, and served their gods. You see, God left these nations to teach us, to test us. But if we don't get it, and we don't pass a test over a period of time, God then uses them for even a further purpose. I'm going to say it this way. God left these nations to trouble us. Verse 7 says this, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Forgot the Lord their God, served Baalim and the groves, Baalim and Ashtaroth. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them. He's the one that delivered them into the hand of their enemies. So everyone look at me. I'm just going to quit. Here it is. Play around all you want. Do whatever you want. Here's our problem. God has purposes for you and for me. You're never going to run from the purposes. You say, I'll find a church where the pastor doesn't talk about anything. Yeah, but see, you got a problem. If you're saved, there's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has purposes of you and I being like Christ. Part of that, he leaves these problems to test us, to teach us. Hopefully we hear. Then he tests us. But if we fail the test over and over, he will use the same problems to bring great trouble in our life. Some folks don't even learn then. They just still have the same problems at 80 that they had at 40. And you're like, you mean God has brought you through the meat grinder and you're still not listening? Pastor, why does God let me have all these problems? Pastor, what do I have all of this? Well, I will say this and be done. Have you ever tried to teach a child not to put... Yes. Do they listen to you? After a while, it's like, okay, if you like the dirt, eat some dirt. I can still remember, sorry, this is gross. I grew up on a farm. We had big dogs, no dogs inside, but we had dogs. I loved the dogs. I had to feed them dog chow. Why would a boy think that dog chow would be good? But it just, my curiosity got up. So I can remember asking Mom, is this good? And she would look at me like, do you have a problem? Sooner or later, by the way, you know how a boy is. Sooner or later, he's taking dog chow. See how it tastes. You say, how did it taste? Wonderful, I'm having some for lunch. Friends, here it is. God leaves you problems to teach you. Learn! God leaves problems to test you. Not for him, but for you. Have you passed the test? If that doesn't get it, God will leave those problems to trouble you. And I will just say this and be done. Go eat some dirt. That's the only... By the way, when you're... Don't be blaming the church. Don't be blaming the pastor. Don't be blame yourself. You decided you needed to see what the Canaanites really live like. Because everybody knows their life is wonderful. That's how I want to live. No, go eat some dirt. And through the process, God will trouble you to the place, like the Jewish believers, that you cry out. Maybe at that point, we start learning. Maybe at that point, we start obeying. Maybe at that point, we start passing the test. Maybe. Father, help us this morning. Help us to hear. Forgive us. Wow. Why in the world should we hear, I hate my boss, and this is the 32nd boss. I hate my job. I hate my this. I hate my that. We can run, but we are doing the running, which means the teaching, the testing, and the troubling are going to follow right along with us. Help us to hear this morning. Help us to not grow discouraged because there's Canaanites and Philistines and Hivites and Hittites and everybody else causing us trouble. Help us instead to flee. Help us to learn. Help us to obey. Help us to so we don't have to be troubled deeply. This I ask in Christ's name. Amen.